Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
What up, Pizza Kid Potters? Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Sky Guasco. This is episode 491 of the TCK Pod, a.k.a. Candlestick Kids Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm joined once again by my man, Christopher Benavides of the Commish Fantasy Football Podcast. We've taken a couple weeks off from each other, subbed in with Bobby. I had Alex on, back and forth. Things are going crazy, but we're back in the mix here. You can find us both on Twitter at Sky Guasco and find Chris and the boys and Kelly as well over at the Commish FFP on Twitter. Of course, make sure to subscribe, give us a like and some love on all of the fantasy focused network handles, Facebook, YouTube right here, Twitch and Twitter. And of course you can give some love to our family over at the Fantasy Football Network on YouTube as well. Many, many independent fantasy football YouTube pages streaming in one area. That's the Fantasy Football Network on YouTube. You can catch us, the Commish, and many, many others going down on the network. Chris, great to have you back, brother. How's your couple weeks been?
It's good, man. Happy to be back. We're already in week 9, dude. We were talking about it on the podcast, and I feel like it really hits you around like Thanksgiving that you only have like, or let's just say we only have like, I don't know, 4 weeks left of fantasy. So,
yep,
we're getting there, bud.
I totally agree, man. It is weird that we're halfway usually, but we have that extra game this week. So I guess This technically is kind of the halfway season. Hoping to get some premier players back from injury sometime soon here. We got some marquee players still out on injury, but hoping to get them back soon. Chris and I, of course, are throwing down the week 9 game previews as well as the week 9 TCK Listener League previews as well, which we will get to in the second half of this episode. Per usual, we've been splicing it. We're going to make a quick hot topic today. Chris, we had a mention it at the end of the episode last week. We'll just take a second on this, but I did want to get into our, you know, kind of better late than never. Shouts out to Halloween, and just do maybe two candies and compare a player to them. And that is going to be our hot topic brought to you by Bomb Banana Hot Sauce. I want to give a shout out to Bomb Banana Hot Sauce, and we'll be right back with our candy player comparisons. Want to introduce you to our newest sponsor, Bomb Banana Hot Sauce. They are a brand new banana-based hot sauce founded by 4 University of Michigan grads. Shouts out to the Wolverines. Their sauce is an absolute must-have at any draft or watch party. Put it on nachos, pizza, wings, or literally any dip, and you will never be forced to eat boring party food again. I promise. The sweet heat and the chili banana combo provides a truly delicious restaurant-quality flavor. They currently offer 2 flavors, the original with the white label and the spicier Muy Muy that comes in the red label. I'm more of a mild guy, but if you like the spice, the Muy Muy is what you want. Be super excited to officially be part of the Bomba Nation. Hashtag Bomba Nation. We hope that you'll join us there. Head over to their website, www.seekthespice.com. Use the discount code TCK at checkout to get 10% off of your order. Once again, Bomb Banana Hot Sauce, banana-based, not banana-flavored hot sauce. Seekthespice.com, promo code TCK. All right, Chris, I'll let you go first here. In the spirit of following up on Halloween here, why don't you give me a player or a candy and give me the comparison on the other side?
So, dude, all right. Thought about this. I know that Snickers is our favorite. You talked about it last week. It is my favorite as well. In the spirit of favorite players, the Snickers has to be compared to Tom Brady. It is the timeless classic. It always shows up. It hits the spot every time you need it. And it will be the best. It was the best 10 years ago. It's the best now. It's going to be the best 100 years from now. There's no candy quite like it. It'll be the best forever. It's the Tom Brady of candy.
I love that, dude. That's a great, great call. And I had Tom Brady on my list as well, but I'll skip over that. I'm going to go with Airheads, which I think is, you know, not quite like the everyday grab for candy, but Airheads, you know, the nice kind of gooey taffy strips. I'm going to give a shout out to my man, Alvin Kamara, right behind me here on YouTube. You could check out my jersey from the Jersey Jungle, of course. Alvin Kamara, first of all, huge fan of Airheads, and they're not a sponsor of us yet, but it's just like, it's kind of, you know, came in underrated, right? Like nobody really knew Alvin Kamara coming out of Tennessee. First of all, he's an Alabama running back. People forget about that. Couldn't find any playing time there because they're always stacked. Goes to Tennessee, balls out, comes to the Saints. He's a third on the depth chart as a rookie. Ends up getting offensive rookie of the year. Right behind me, I've got a plaque of him, offensive rookie of the year. Dominates and gives you a little extra flavor, tang. Got that gooiness, and he's kind of cut above the rest. I think, like, you got all the chocolates, right? But the Airheads are on the other side, and Alvin Kamara delivers on all fronts. So Alvin Kamara, for me, is the Airhead. Do you have any other candies, good or bad, that you want to throw in there?
So, yeah, I'm going to stick on the side of chocolate here, chocolate bars. And I've gone back to this one on several – I feel like we've done this 2 years in a row now. I'm going to keep pounding it until your listeners' heads here. The Take 5 is an incredibly underrated candy bar. All right. It's like a Snickers, except it's got the pretzel and it's got the peanut butter. Now, it's a very versatile kind of candy because it's got many ingredients in it. And it reminds me of a player who's seemingly the best on your team, the best on my home league team, and that's Deebo Samuel. The dude does it all. It doesn't matter if his team around him isn't playing or performing very well. You could have a quarterback who's in, a quarterback who's not, a running quarterback, a non-running quarterback. His tight end might show up. His tight end might not show up. We have no idea. But I do know that Deebo Samuel, averaging at least 10 targets a game, can run the ball when needed. Take fives, do everything. It does. It's got all the ingredients you want. It's got the pretzel. It's got the peanut butter. It's got the chocolate. It's got the nougat. It's got the caramel. That's what you want in a delicious candy bar. Deebo Samuel is my Take Five.
Wow, that was quite the endorsement there of a Take Five, which I agree is underrated.
So underrated.
I'm gonna go the other way just because, you know, I like to bring a little pessimism to our show when I
a little
can.
Realism, yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. And candy peanuts, Chris. Remember back in the day, they're not really popular anymore because I think like kids around the world have shunned this candy for so long. It's just, sure. It's out of rotation. But remember when we were Utes? And we had those like styrofoam orange shitty peanuts that like, yeah, they don't taste like peanut at all, but they were like foam taffy.
Oh, yeah.
Just complete frauds. I mean, they were like absolute bogus, right? You look at it and you're like, oh, this is either peanut butter ish, which I think I like because of all the other peanut butter items, or it's going to be a taffy or a chalk or something. Like you end up getting none of that and it lets you down weekly. Unfortunately for me, Chris,
I cannot wait for the player comparison.
Miles Sanders, folks, 3 years in a row, I've been repping no Miles Sanders. Okay. Don't know how to use him as a running back. All right. They don't use him properly. Even when he gets the proper opportunity, his efficiency is terrible. Yes, he has 5 great runs in his NFL career. Other than that, he's got about 800 other bogus runs. Don't use him in the pass game. The offense doesn't use him properly. He doesn't score touchdowns. It has been blowing up people in the third or fourth round of fantasy rosters and drafts. Again, now he's injured. I won't hold that against him, but it's been a letdown. I've been trying to tell people for 3 seasons not to be high on Miles Sanders. Bobby doesn't get it. Other people don't get it. I've been fading it for 3 years. I'm going to stick with it. My candy peanut, which isn't even a peanut, is going to be Miles Sanders. I got to keep it real for you.
I love it, dude.
All right. Now that I'm fired up, let's get into it here. We got the game previews coming up. But before we do that, if you're interested in throwing down on some bets this week, of course, you got to give a shout out and a listen to the Commish Bets, our boy Alex and Dez, and special guest this week. I'll let you find out who it is when you go listen to the podcast. But if you're doing that, you want to go to the Commish Bets and make sure to go to betonline.ag, sponsor the TCK pod to get your bets in. We'll be right back. This episode of the Candlestick Kids is brought to you by BetOnline. All eyes are back on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. With the new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be your number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use the mobile app and sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use the promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, BELIEVE, to receive your bonus. For football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we got our NFL game previews brought to you by Carafactor, one of our newer sponsors. Chris, Bucky and Bob usually do the Wednesday night preview where they preview the Thursday night game. Bucky had the night off last night, so Bob did it by himself. We don't usually preview the Thursday night game, but we're actually doing it before the game starts this particular week. So, we got kickoff in about 45 minutes. I don't want to get too in depth here, but just really quickly, let's get your thoughts on the Jets and the Colts. Jets at 2-5, Colts 3-5 tonight. Colts 10.5 point favorites at home, 46 over under. Mike White absolutely crushed last week, 400 plus yards. Of course, you had Michael Carter out of the backfield, number one running back on the week. Corey Davis going to be out again. Jonathan Taylor, unbelievable on the ground the last month of the season. The Jets can't stop anybody. Carson Wentz has been excellent as well. Not terribly efficient, but getting it done. Michael Pittman, hit or miss, but usually hit. And Mo Alie-Cox getting it done as well. How do you feel about tonight's game real quick?
Yeah, it's an interesting game. I try to look at the spreads here and kind of see where the rest of the market is lining up. And we talked about this on the Bets episode, so there's just spoiler, I'm the special guest on the Bets episode. So when I was talking with Alex and Desmond, I think we pretty confidently felt like this spread seems high. I don't think the Jets are actually that bad of a team. They just hit some rough patches. You play the Patriots twice, and no one looks good against Bill Belichick as a rookie, so we kind of know that. Throw those games away, but they put up a great fight against Cincinnati. They're actually 2-0 against winning teams this year. So there's two wins coming against winning teams. And then the resurgence of Michael Carter with Mike White, who seemingly is throwing to his running back a shit ton here. I kind of like the Jets, maybe not to win the game, but definitely to cover that spread. I mean, it feels too heavy. I think the Titans win the game, but I think it's going to be a closer matchup than the spreads are giving credit to. So that's kind of what I'm feeling. Again, I don't even know if it's going to be a high scoring or low scoring game. I mean, Colts have a good defense, but again, you use your running back in the passing game the way that they have been using. I know Corey Davis isn't playing, but Jameson Crowder's had some good games and Mike White looked good. So, I mean, it's very difficult to assess how this game's going to play out. Yes, some unproven teams. I think the Colts are better than the record. They're a good team. They just had some bad luck and they'll come out to play. I think they win the game, but the Jets are going to put up a fight.
The Jets have allowed 29.4 points per game this year, 390 total yards this year, bottom five in both categories in the NFL. That is tonight's game on Thursday Night Football. Kickoff in just a little bit. Chris and I will still be on air. Enjoy the game, everybody. All right, Chris, let's move into the rest of these matchups here. We'll kick off with the early morning Sunday slate. Dub Bills 5-2 against the Jags 1-6. Bills 14.5 road favorites. That's a hell of a spread to be on the road. I don't care who you are. 14.5 point road favorites, over under 48.5. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs starting to keep pace. Cole Beasley's filled in very well for Dawson Knox. Dawson Knox may be back in the next week or two, so go look at him on your waiver wires. Emmanuel Sanders, a couple targets last week, but had a goose egg in the stat column. He could have a nice bounce back here against the Jags. Running backs, it's kind of a roulette there. On the other side, James Robinson, we're looking at right now, looking at probably on the side of doubtful, unfortunately. Carlos Hyde may be still available on your waivers if you need a play, although I don't like anybody against the Bills defense. And then Marvin Jones, who I love as a streamer every week, LaVisca, whoever, unfortunately going to be pretty tough here against the Bills secondary. So not a lot on the Jag side, but the Bills should be just fine here on the road.
Yeah, it's a good sum up. I'm not necessarily looking to play anybody on the Jaguars side. Again, I think that spread is insane, but the talent in the game and the game plan seems to favor the Bills heavily. And so, it might be a game where you take a 14 point spread for the Bills to cover here. But in terms of fantasy, I'm looking at Cole Beasley. He's played very well the last two games. He's hauled in 17 of his 22 targets for 198 yards and one touchdown. We thought Sanders was going to have a game last week, and he just didn't. I don't know what happened there. So unfortunately, you know, Sanders had his sort of down game when everyone thought he was going to play well. But Cole Beasley's Teflon Cole Beasley, so he's going to, you know, continue to play well, and I expect another great game in this matchup against the Jaguars. The other person I'm sitting, and I'm going to continue to say this every week because I just don't think he's got a role in this team anymore, is Devin Singletary. I know that the landscape for running backs right now is kind of thin, but he's playing 34% of snaps in week 8. I think he played even less than that in week 7. 18 carries, you know, over the last 3 weeks. It's just not looking very good for Devin Singletary. So I'd stay away from him in that backfield.
I totally agree. All right, let's move on here. And just a quick note about Thursday Night Football. Jonathan Taylor is the ECR number one running back on the week. So expect a big one from him. If you're playing DFS, make sure to get him in your lineup. All right, Broncos and Cowboys. Broncos are 4-4. Cowboys sliding in at 6-1, stole a win last week with Cooper Rush. Denver has won 6 straight games against the Cowboys. Cowboys, though, a favorite in this one at home by 9 points, over under 49.5. Jerry Jeudy got a little bit gimped up last week, but he should be back. Cortland Sutton was on fire with Jerry Jeudy out, but he has slowed down the last couple games with Jeudy back. The running backs have been 50-50 in timeshare, but Melvin Gordon is the one scoring touchdowns. I've been trying to ride Javonte Williams as much as possible because I believe in the kid's talent, but Melvin Gordon is the one getting the scores, so that's kind of a tough break there. Noah Fant out with COVID. Albert O, another streaming option on the other side. And with the Cowboys, Dak should be good this week. You start your studs, you can fire up everybody for the Cowboys. How do you feel about this game?
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I might look towards Cortland Sutton if you're in a deeper league just for this week. I know Jerry Jeudy, expected to play here. He's obviously leading the team in, you know, targets, receptions, receiving yards. Talking about Cortland Sutton here. And he has been playing a lot of offensive snaps. I actually like the matchup against Dallas. They're actually surrendering the 8th most fantasy points per game to wide receivers. So it actually could be a nice matchup for Cortland Sutton. And I totally agree with you on Javonte Williams. In general, you know, Williams was averaging 13 carries in his first 3 games. And since then is averaging 7.8 over the last 5 and only has 1 touchdown. It is Melvin Gordon's backfield, especially within the red zone. So fortunately, I think we got to wait a little bit longer on Javonte Williams.
I agree. But if you are able to get him on the cheap right now, I would do it. I think the breakout is coming eventually. Browns, Bungles, Browns 4-4, Bengals 5-3. Bengals get upset by the Jets last week. Of course, the Browns had a tough one with the Steelers. Bengals 2.5-point favorites at home, 46.5-point over under here. The Cleveland Browns have won 5 of 6 games versus the Bengals recently. For the Browns, Kareem Hunt still out. Odell Beckham excused from his 2nd consecutive practice. I was listening to the CBS podcast. I highly recommend listening to that for your fantasy football analysis as well. And basically they had amounted it to, it's like when you're in school and you get like a note to the principal's office, right? That's like basically what his dad did when he put up a bunch of highlights of him getting overthrown by Baker Mayfield while he's still on the team, right? And then after the trade deadline goes, right, then they have a bunch of other excuses too. So basically he's been like probably suspended from the team, but now they can't trade him. The trade deadline's gone. So they're probably trying to figure out, do we actually release Odell Beckham and let someone pick him up for free essentially, or do we hold on to this clown for the rest of the season? It's not just him, but it's his pops. Unfortunate situation there for Cleveland. For the Bengals side, they got beat by the Jets, but they should have won the game. They were up by like 11 with 7 minutes left. They fell apart. You know, I mean, you can't fall asleep on Mike White. Let's be honest. You know, you're going to get that L. Jamar Chase on fire. We got a Jamar Chase question here that I'll get to at the end, Chris. Your boy, Joe Mixon, terribly inefficient, but getting scores, doing well in fantasy football.
Yep.
Joe Burrow's been on fire. T. Higgins leads the team in targets and yards. And then Tyler Boyd, kind of an afterthought. C.J. Ozama, streamer as well. How do you feel about the Browns and the Bungles?
Yeah, it'll be a competitive game. I always like when the Browns are playing. I feel like they're like my secret go-to team every week. I like their defense. I like watching them play. I'm happy Baker seems to be back here. Going to have a healthy Nick Chubb. And you have Jarvis Landry. So I think that 3 is probably the 3 I'm going to go for. If you're in a 2-quarterback league, I actually don't have a problem playing Baker Mayfield here. And then the Bengals, yeah, dude, the Joe Mixon thing is really interesting. He is incredibly inefficient, but for fantasy, he's scoring touchdowns. And he's giving you like that 12-point floor, which is just enough to slide into your flex spot and just not think about it. So, you know, as much as I, you know, don't want him to do well for my own personal reasons, you know, he's doing just enough to kind of keep you in there. And for most people, I think you kind of have him as your running back two or three minimum. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be an interesting game. I don't really have, I don't have a lot of feelings either way. I think you got to fire up Chase. I mean, Higgins seems to be, you know, an every week play at this point with Joe Burrow. So, yeah, I think you fire up all the notables here.
Loyal fantasy focus follower, Ilias Giftopoulos coming in. Should I trade Swift for Chase, Jamar Chase and PPR? I have good running back depth. Chris, if you can afford to get rid of DeAndre Swift, would you trade Swift for Jamar Chase right now?
Probably not. I don't think so. I don't think I would. I like Chase a lot, but Swift is one of the best running backs in the league right now.
I feel like I'm okay to trade Swift, but I would shoot higher.
Yeah. Shoot higher if you're going to do it. Yeah.
All right. So Ilias, I think this particular question, Chris and I both lean keep Swift. Also, it's a small knock, but I will say that Jamal Williams is not 100% healthy right now. Because of that, I think Swift gets a little extra bump. And even if you have great depth, my man, you can't have enough running back depth in fantasy football. You just can't. Bye weeks, yep. Injuries, whatever. And Swift is somebody that's dominating in PPR leagues. Jamar Chase is great. But again, T. Higgins leads the team in targets and yardage. Jamar Chase is getting the touchdown. So if you're going to trade Swift, I would actually shoot higher, and I believe Chris agrees with us.
Yep.
Chris, I'm going to skip ahead just a little bit here because we do have a question about tonight, and I want to make sure we get that in before kickoff here in a few minutes because you and I will be live on air. Should I start Pittman or DJ Moore? Pittman tonight or DJ Moore?
DJ Moore going
up against your Patriots.
Yeah, exactly. I think I'm going to lean Pittman because for a couple of reasons. One, he's Carson Wentz's go-to weapon in Indianapolis. You also have the potential of having PJ Walker thrown to DJ Moore this week with Sam Darnold being out. And the Patriots are very sneaky. They have a very good defense. I just don't think it's the matchup you want for DJ Moore. So Pittman feels like a better play against the Jets than DJ Moore does against the Patriots.
I agree. And we'll preview that game in full here in just a few minutes. But look ahead. Both the Patriots and the Panthers rank top 10 in scoring defense this season. So I don't, spoiler alert, 41 over under. I think I'll take the under in this one, especially if PJ Walker's behind the helm as well. So we'll go with Pittman this evening. And then Ilias, we will go with keeping Swift if you can. All right, back on brand here. Falcons and Saints. Falcons 3-4, Saints 5-2. Saints get a very impressive win with Trevor Siemian halfway through here. Of course, Jameis Winston out for the season with the torn ACL. We might see Taysom Hill. We might see Trevor Siemian. Not quite sure yet. Taysom Hill has missed the last couple of weeks with a concussion. Saints get a huge win over Brady and the boys last week. Saints 6-point home favorite, over under 42 points here. Calvin Ridley, of course, you mentioned it multiple times. Calvin Ridley out indefinitely for personal reasons. Kyle Pitts didn't quite blow up last week, but he has been trending up. Mike Davis is a running back, so you flex him, I guess. Cordarrelle Patterson and Matt Ryan, I think, are good playing options as well this week here. For the Saints, if Taysom Hill plays, you definitely play him at quarterback, 20 points in every game that he has started. Alvin Kamara, I think, is going to be just fine. Mark Ingram, a low-level flex as well if you need a buy replacement with the Lions, Seahawks, Bucks, and Washington football team on a bye week. You got a handful of running backs out. So if you need somebody, maybe Mark Ingram there's a good option. And then Marquez Callaway getting some work as well here. Falcons, Saints, Chris.
Yeah, so the only thing – so I agree with everything you said, and I'll keep this one sort of quick. The only one that I'm a little bit – off in terms of opinion on here is Matt Ryan. I think the loss of Calvin Ridley and the fact that the Saints right now are one of the top five defenses in the league, I think that's going to hurt Matt Ryan against the Saints at the Saints this week. I'm just not feeling their offense going into this week, losing Calvin Ridley and playing the Saints.
All right, fair enough. The New Orleans Saints have won three straight games versus Atlanta and allowed fewer than 20 points in each game. Last year, Taysom Hill played a few games when Drew Brees was out, and two of those were against Atlanta. He ran for two in one and threw for two in another. So you're not always looking at his passing totals, of course, but his rushing totals might get you where you need to be. All right, we just talked Patriots and Panthers. Let's get to it, Chris. 4-4 on each side of the football here. Your Patriots, 3.5-point favorite on the road, going down to Carolina from New England, 41 over-under. Again, I will take the under on the 41 here. And with P.J. Walker potentially getting more work here, I will probably take the Patriots as the favorite as well. Patriots have been doing well. Damian Harris is on a roll right now. The pass catchers, you know, a lot of people are eating, but not eating a lot as far as points go. Mac Jones is doing enough, but basically just a super flex option here on the other side. With the Panthers, with CMC still out, P.J. Walker maybe getting the run here. Then again, DJ Moore, I think we're going to fade. Robbie Anderson's definitely a fade. There's really nobody on this team other than maybe Chuba Hubbard, just because he's a running back, that I would even play here.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Patriots are, I was looking for it, looking for the stat online. I couldn't find it, unfortunately, but I do know the Patriots are one of five teams whose offense and defense rank inside the top 10. They're a sneaky good offense in terms of points. They're a sneaky good defense in terms of points against. So I do think the Pats ultimately win this game. I like this 3.5 under. And with P.J. Walker at the helm, it'll be a difficult matchup against the Patriots in terms of, you know, what the Panthers will be able to produce. The only saving grace is if CMC plays, and it seems like he's not going to. So the Pats seem to be, you know, kind of a go ahead here. From a tight end standpoint, it does feel like Hunter Henry is going to be the go-to guy here, and I think he's going to be your best weapon. I'm still hoping Jacoby Myers gets his touchdown, though. That's like literally everybody in New England's main goal is to get him his touchdown. That's all that matters. The only thing that matters in our town now, we have no more baseball, so it's get Jacoby Myers a touchdown.
I love that. We're all rooting for this kid, man. Jacoby, I believe he's thrown two, right?
He's thrown two. He leads the team in targets. Like he's a very productive wide receiver. Just can't find the end zone. And the one time he did, it got called back on a friggin' holding penalty. So,
well, and he caught, I watched last week, he caught a 2-point conversion, I believe.
Yeah, which doesn't count. Doesn't matter.
Awesome. Let's move on here to the Raiders and the Giants. Raiders last week had the week off with the Ravens, 5-2 Raiders. Lose Henry Ruggs, of course. We haven't gone too much into this on the show, but if you are unaware, Henry Ruggs essentially probably out of football for the rest of his life. He was involved in a car crash that unfortunately killed a woman. He was going 150 plus miles an hour, and he was under the influence. He may be facing prison time. I'm going to stay out of all the legalities until we know what's going on, but Henry Ruggs made a terrible decision, unfortunately, and the Raiders will be without him for the rest of his career. Only 22 years old, made a terrible mistake, unfortunately. Raiders 5-2, Giants 2-6, Raiders 3-point road favorites. Again, West Coast team going across East Coast. This always makes me concerned, Chris. 46.5-point over-under here. Brian Edwards should be getting more work now without Henry Ruggs. Hunter Renfrow is sneaky all the time. I think he's a great option here as well. Zay Jones is a random DFS dart throw if you run out of cash there. Derek Carr could be a good option as well. Josh Jacobs, Kenyon Drake, meh. You guys know how I feel about Josh Jacobs, but unfortunately he's still getting the run there. And on the Giants side, Saquon Barkley, potentially healthy enough with the ankle injury, comes down with COVID. So he's out anyway. Doesn't matter. Daniel Jones still unable to play with all of his guys here. Sterling Shepard is questionable. Kenny Galladay has been questionable all season long. Evan Ingram finally caught a touchdown, but can you count on him? Kadarius Toney's hit or miss as well. It's absolute mess for both of these teams here, man. Raiders, Giants in New Jersey here. Raiders have to go across the country.
Yeah, so actually, I'm gonna talk about that real quick, Sky. We've talked about it a few times, and it got me thinking, what is the records of teams who travel cross-country? And so I did some research on this. I actually put it in the playbook this week. And teams are actually 7-6 when they go across country, believe it or not.
This year?
Yeah, at least in 2020. Sorry, excuse me, 2021. So from a wins-loss perspective, it's not quite clear if that matters or not. The teams that do win when they play cross country, they actually score 28 points, and when they lose, they're scoring about 17 point something points on average when they lose those games. So again, no definitive like statistical like wins loss narrative there if it matters or not. But I do understand the concern. I think the thing is that for us, when we travel cross country, you're kind of like shit. Like I have to travel cross country. For these guys, it's just another part. It's part of their day job. It's just like us waking up, going to work, doing our thing. It's what they do. So I just think for the idea of, you know, will the cross country play hurt my fantasy team? I just think it's whoever shows up on that Sunday ready to go. So when it comes for the Raiders and Giants, I agree with everything you just said. The one guy that I'm actually probably going to start this week because you have a couple of bye weeks, players like TJ Hockenson out, is tight end Evan Engram. So again, Engram didn't have the best day, but he found the end zone when it was necessary for the Giants. He's caught 9 of his 12 targets and 59 yards and 1 touchdown over the last 2 weeks. He's a low end tight end 2. You can probably start him and get something out of him. I know the Raiders are a pretty decent defense. But again, you know, they're going to have to keep pace. I do think the Raiders score a lot of points here, even going across country. Because you have Darren Waller, you have Hunter Renfrow, even without Ruggs, they're still a good team. And I actually do think they're going to have something to prove. They just lost their coach. They just lost one of their best receivers on the team. They have a lot to show up and prove here. And I think Derek Carr keeps laser focus and kind of gets that engine or continues to keep that engine running. But dude, again, I think Daniel Jones is going to be another start this week. He's seemingly putting up enough points to just flirt with quarterback 16, 17 until the end of the year. That's all I care about. So he's doing just enough to keep playing him in super flex leagues.
Well, if you're as hot on Daniel Jones as Chris is, you may need to go to the Jersey Jungle and get yourself a jersey. Here's how you can do it. We'll be right back. Are you a merchandise maniac or jersey junkie like myself? You need to check out the Jersey Jungle. They handle their business on Instagram at the Jersey Jungle. You can use a promo code TCK for 10% off of one or two jerseys, 15% off of three or more jerseys. Now, if you've been watching the show for this season or a couple seasons, you know that my backdrop, if you're streaming live with us on video, you know my backdrop is always a couple of jerseys. Those jerseys are coming from the Jersey Jungle. They're high quality stitch and twill jerseys. I collect NFL jerseys, but I'm also a baseball guy. So I have baseball jerseys as well. I collect Hall of Fame jerseys. I have a Jackie Robinson. I have a Ken Griffey Jr. I have a Willie Mays jersey. I got a Shohei Ohtani jersey as well because the guy has been absolutely on fire. Go get yourself a jersey. Basketball, baseball, hockey, football, college. They got rookies as well. Home, away. They have customs, they have camouflage, whatever you're feeling, retro jerseys from any sport, go hit up the Jersey Jungle on Instagram. DM the Jersey Jungle. Use the promo code TCK for 10% off of one or two jerseys, 15% off of three jerseys. These are already half price that you're going to find on the websites. They're high quality stitch and twill game authentic jerseys. Go check them out. The Jersey Jungle on Instagram. All right, Chris, quick shot to Derek Carr here. 324 passing yards per game this season. Second most in the NFL. Derek Carr getting it done. Let's move on here to the Texans and the Dolphins. Both teams, 1-7. Bob and I talked about this early in the week here. 1-7 Texans makes sense. 1-7 Dolphins just doesn't seem right. I feel like they feel like a 500 team. Somehow they're 1-7 here. 6.5-point favorite at home. Texans might sneak. This might be a little sneaky here.
Yeah, go down that path. I think you're right.
46.5-point over under. Dolphins, 6.5-point favorite. Oh boy, this seems like a fade here to me, Chris. Texans, you don't play anybody but Brandon Cooks. That's been established for the Dolphins with Tua here. I like Jalen Waddle. I like Mike Gesicki. I like Devontae Parker, assuming he's healthy. Miles Gaskin, I guess, again, kind of because he's a running back. We do have a question here from our boy Mike Ortiz, which I'll get to in just a second, involving Jalen Waddle. So we'll get to that in just a second. But your thoughts on the Texans and Dolphins. Do you think the Dolphins are a touchdown better than the Texans right now?
I actually don't know.
I don't either.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit here. We're like, you know, you can get a sneaky Houston Texans team that shows up like they did against the Patriots. For the record, the Dolphins are literally 2 points away from being 0-7. Like, they only beat the Patriots, I think, 17-16, and that's the reason why they have that one win. So the Dolphins are not necessarily a great team right now. And other than they're hurt, they don't have a full complete team. They don't have Tua, but like they've also not played a lot of great football. They've played some tough teams. Like they've lost to the Bills, they lost to the Raiders, they've lost to the Colts, they've lost to the Bucks, but they've also lost to the Jaguars. They've also lost to the Falcons. It's like, you know, they're not playing good football. So I don't. First of all, that spread's insane. I wouldn't even touch this game, to be honest with you. I don't know which way it's gonna go. So that's just my overall thoughts on the Dolphins, and it's nothing against the Dolphins, but they're just not playing very well. So we'll just leave it at that. The one bright spot that they have in their team though is Mike Gesicki. And I do have to say that I think he continues up with his, sort of tight end one, performances that he's been having. He's hauled in 40 of his 55 targets, on the season. He's leading the team in receiving yards, 475. So in general, I think Gesicki's like the guy on that team. He's a red zone target. He's just their all around pass catcher. You have to continue to play him every week. I have to say this. Sky, I don't know if you felt this way as well, but I totally missed on David Johnson. I thought that game script for the Houston Texans backfield was going to showcase an old school David Johnson playing from behind, which they were, and being able to utilize him in the passing game, which they should have. And they just didn't. I think Scotty Phillips led the team in carries. Just avoid that. Avoid that entire team, that entire backfield. Houston's a train wreck. If they do win, I don't know how they're going to win. I don't know which way this game's going to go. I'm just very, very upset about these two teams right now.
Mike Ortiz picked up Michael Carter on the waiver wire. Well done, Mike. Why is Michael Carter in the waiver wire? Should I flex him over Jerry Jeudy or Jalen Waddle in full PPR, Chris? Michael Carter tonight, basically right now, or Jalen Waddle or Jerry Jeudy?
Yes, I would. I would play him with Mike White behind center.
I would as well. The Colts know that he's going to dump down 15 times. Doesn't matter. If he catches 15 catches or 10 catches for 2 yards apiece, that's still going to give you 10 plus 2. That's 12 points on receptions there. Or Marquise Brown. I would probably play Marquise Brown at that point. But I go Michael Carter over Waddle and Jeudy this week. But I would go Hollywood over Michael Carter.
Yeah. It's actually funny. Mike Ortiz, I actually have Michael Carter and Marquise Brown in my home league. It's a short bet. It's a short team roster. I'm trying to find a way to play both of them, actually. So I actually have Deebo Samuel on my bench this week, and it's because he's questionable, and that's the only reason why. If it were up to me, I'd probably sit Marquise Brown, but that's me. All right, everyone hang tight. Sky's going to be right back here. The team that we do have coming up in terms of listing here is the Vikings versus the Ravens. So this is another tough game. So if you guys go to the Commish Fantasy Football Podcast, a little plug there, we have our bets episode, and we talked with Alex and Desmond, who are the co-hosts of that episode. And we talked about the Ravens and Vikings game in pretty good depth here. So the spread, I think, is something like 6.5, something of that nature. And the way I'm seeing the game is the Ravens win this game, but the Vikings keep it close. And the reason the Vikings keep it close is because they've kept every game close that they've been in. Now, they're a 3-4 team, but they're a good 3-4 team. They're not like, you know, I don't know. I don't even know a bad 3-4 team. Maybe the Giants, for example. The Giants are like a bad 2-5 team, right, for example. But the Vikings 3-4, they're a good 3-4. Their 4 losses have come against really good teams. Yo, Sky, what's up?
Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Had a little malfunction here.
I was
my bad on that. Texans, Dolphins are done. Let's move on to the Vikings, Chris. I heard you covering the Minnesota Vikings.
That's right. Yeah.
On here to the Baltimore Ravens. So go ahead.
No, yep. I was just basically explaining, you know, I think that the Vikings are a good 3-4 team. They've lost four games to very good teams. And the Ravens, you know, even though they're 5-2, I think the Ravens still win this game, but the Vikings keep it close. I think the spread is like, is it six minus six? Okay. So the spread's six. I think the Vikings cover this, but the Ravens win the game. It's going to be probably a high scoring game. The Vikings secondary has pretty much gotten torched. You're going to see, I think you're going to see a lot of Marquise Brown in this game. And the rushing attack from Lamar Jackson is going to keep the Vikings off balance. But on the flip side, dude, I'm not trusting the Baltimore Ravens defense right now. So I actually see a lot of Dalvin Cook. We'll see a lot of Justin Jefferson. You'll have a bounce back game from him. Adam Thielen, you'll have plenty of offense in this game. So that's just, again, that's kind of how I see this game playing out. I do like Tyler Conklin. Again, you know, guys like TJ Hockenson are off this week. If you can play a Tyler Conklin, then go for it. He's been, you know, for example, you know, he racked up 128 yards and 8 receptions over the last 2 weeks. So they're finding him. And I think they continue to find him as defenses hone in on, you know, stopping Thielen and Jefferson.
Yeah, I agree. And unfortunately for the Vikings, man, like they're in so many close games one way or another, but they don't win them. Like, I don't get it. They're always like up a field goal with 3 minutes left and then somehow like lose, or they go to overtime and lose, or
yeah. Yeah.
They like give up 20 points in the first half and then have to play catch up. It doesn't make sense. Their team is stacked.
Yep, agreed.
And they can't get it together. So, again, sorry about that, folks. Dipped out for just a second there. Had a internet malfunction. But Vikings 3-4. Ravens off the bye 5-2. I like the Ravens a lot at home, especially off the bye. Everybody's rested here. 6-point favorite. 50-point over-under. All right, Chris, let's go in here to the Chargers and the Eagles. Chargers 4-3, Eagles 3-5. Chargers 2-point road favorites, over under 50 points. Now, the Chargers got, you know, upended by your Patriots. The Bill Belichick has, so far in two meetings, Bill Belichick has the Justin Herbert recipe down.
Yes.
He has shut him down two games in a row. Now, as a rookie, makes sense because that's what Bill does. But this year did it again. Very interesting. But on the flip side, Mike Williams didn't do much. But Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler were still quite productive for fantasy. So I'm just fine with the Chargers. You move on. It's a bunk game, whatever. I'm just fine with those guys. So you start your studs for the Chargers. For the Eagles, 4 rushing touchdowns last week, Chris. Everybody's repping Kenny Gainwell. Nope.
Nothing.
Jordan Howard, Boston Scott, not Jalen Hurts, not Kenny Gainwell. Super frustrating. I'm going to go with Kenny Gainwell as a streaming running back again if you need him. Jalen Hurts, of course, you fire up pretty much no matter what because he's going to give you 20-plus fantasy points. On the other side, though, Dallas Goedert's the only pass catcher outside of maybe Devontae Smith I want. But Devontae Smith has not actually been as good as I think people feel like he has. He's been peppered with targets. But he scored 1 touchdown. He has not gotten a lot of red zone looks. The Eagles don't score a lot of points, and Jalen Hurts doesn't complete a lot of passes. So, yes, you can fire him up as a flex, but I would not be super confident with any Eagles pass catcher other than Dallas Goedert against an elite secondary with the Chargers.
Yeah, I agree with you. So, nothing more to add on those points. The only other thing that I'll add in terms of a different player to consider sitting this week is Mike Williams, and I can't believe I'm saying that because I really thought Mike Williams – I thought his season was going to be one of those, you know, Adam Thielen, 2017-esque type seasons where he just got it done every week. He's not actually. So in the last 2 weeks, he's only racked up 46 yards and 4 receptions over 10 targets. He's just not catching the ball in those games. And the Eagles are actually letting up the third fewest points per reception fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. So in terms of what Mike Williams could produce, I just don't think it's his kind of week. He's going to get Darius Slay. Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler are going to be your go-to people because, well, Keenan Allen's much more versatile. They move him in and out. Mike Williams just primarily stays on the outside. And then Austin Eckler, well, he's Austin Eckler. He catches everything and runs everything in the red zone. So those are the two guys you have to go with on the Chargers. I think they pull it off, but Mike Williams might be the only guy that I'm a little bit nervous about.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Let's move on here to the Cardinals and my 49ers here. Cardinals at 7-1. 49ers 3-4. Cardinals should be 8-0. But AJ Green didn't know that the pass was coming to him in the red zone, which doesn't make sense. Kyler Murray beat up, has an ankle injury. Here's, I guess, the skinny for Kyler Murray for me. I have him a couple of leagues. I'm still playing him because he's Kyler Murray. but I would not expect the rushing upside. He hasn't even been utilizing his legs as much as he did last year, this year. Last year, he was on pace to blow away Josh Allen, and then he got hurt, and then he fell behind him, whatever. This year, he just hasn't had the rushing upside because he hasn't had to run. Chase Edmonds, James Conner have been doing well, and they're trying to keep him safe. And even though they did that, Kyler Murray is still banged up. Nuke Hopkins is banged up. AJ Green out in this game. If you can go elsewhere from Kyler Murray, if you have another stud, you know, if you got like Kyler early, Brady late, or Tannehill or Stafford late, you got those two guys to flex or whatever, I'd actually go with the other one over Kyler personally this week. Edmonds, you fire up in PPR. James Conner is a streamer, got the touchdown upside. Of course, you got Christian Kirk filling in for AJ Green as well. Rondale Moore, I would pass on. 49ers, you go with your boy Debo. Another six catches, 171 yards. Look, man, I'm a 49er fan. I watch every play. I love Debo Samuel. I don't know how the hell this is happening. It literally makes no sense. Jimmy Garoppolo never throws the ball. And when he does throw the ball, he doesn't throw it downfield. And somehow, over the course of a game, Debo comes away with 150, 170 yards. It doesn't make any sense. Jeff Wilson, George Kittle, coming back this week in practices. We'll see if they're active for this game here. That could change a lot of things. Brandon Ayuk caught a two-point conversion. I would not start him yet, though. Elijah Mitchell is a surefire play, and this should be a pass-a-lot game script for the Niners to keep up with the Cardinals, but it's in division. You never know. This game's in fake San Francisco and Santa Clara. I like the Niners here to cover that 1.5. I think they'll just find. They might even sneak away a win here with a 45 over under, Chris.
I do. I actually agree with you. I do think that the 49ers here have a slight edge. And it's, well, obviously because the Cardinals are battling some injuries here. But yeah, I mean, the 49ers are playing pretty well. Guys are starting to get healthy. Assuming Debo plays, you know, he's obviously their go-to target, but he actually does have that calf injury right now. So I'm a little bit nervous about Debo Samuel. And if he doesn't play, it'll be very interesting how they're going to scheme, you know, or the 49ers are going to scheme. Likely Brandon Ayuk might, you know, have a good game if Debo doesn't come alive because, well, he's like the de facto Debo and Debo's not there. So yeah, I mean, you know, again, if Debo doesn't play, maybe look to fire up Ayuk as your wide receiver two or three on, you know, on this week.
I agree. The Arizona Cardinals, 30 plus points in each of the four road games this year. So we'll see if they can pull it off again against the Niners. All right, man, this is the discount double check super game and not looking good for State Farm here. Aaron Rodgers out with COVID. Davante Adams, we'll see what he can do with Jordan Love. Davante Adams is either going to come back as a lifelong Packer next year or he will move on. If Davante comes back, I think Rodgers comes back. If he doesn't, it's the Jordan Love era. We shall see what happens. MVS should be healthy as well. AJ Dillon might get more run in this game too as they try to run out the clock and have a chance against the Chiefs with Aaron Jones. And then you have Robert Tonyan out in this game as well with a torn ACL. He's done. For the Chiefs, they got an ugly win last week. They're not quite the Chiefs again, but Tyreek Hill is a must fire up, obviously. Mm-hmm. Travis Kelce still is, although he's been quote-unquote struggling. And then Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. But the running backs are interesting. Darrell Williams blew away Gore in this game, but Gore like scored a touchdown, and he's got this big infatuation. But Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, he had limited work and he happened to make the most of it. That's awesome that he did that. But Darrell Williams blew him away in every statistical category: touches, opportunity share, snap share, targets, everything else. Derek Gore happened to, you know, score a touchdown. Are you willing to fire up Derek Gore in this matchup? He's got a lot of fantasy hype, or are you just rolling with Darrell Williams in this? And then on the Packers side, with Jordan Love, are you comfortable enough with Davante Adams? You just set it and forget it. And is there anybody else other than Aaron Jones?
Yeah, let's start with the Chiefs here. Yeah, that was an ugly win. You can make a case that the Giants could have come away with it.
They should have.
I think they had a bad play call on a third down there late in the game, and it kind of gave the Chiefs life, and you know, they ultimately secured the bag there. But yeah, the Williams versus Gore scenario. I mean, if you have to play Williams, play Williams. I'm probably not going to play Gore. I just don't think that that's going to continue. The Chiefs are still a pass-first offense. So I think that continues. They're trying to find their edge passing-wise. Like, they haven't found it yet. And the only way to do that is to give Patrick Mahomes opportunities to throw the ball. So they're going to continue to let Patrick throw and be Mahomes. So just continue more of that. If you can find alternatives to the backfield of Kansas City, then I would. But I understand if you have to play someone, I'd probably lean Williams there. The Packers. Yeah, dude, the Packers, the spread in this game was like 6.5 before Rodgers went down. Now it's 7.5. It's like they were, how is the Packers 7-1 the underdogs to the Chiefs 4-4? I get that they're playing in Kansas City, but still, Packers to me are just a better team overall right now. So I don't know. It's tough to say. I don't know which way to go with this game. I mean, you have Jordan Love who's coming in as the rookie and he's going to prove whether or not he can lead this offense with good weapons. So who knows, man? It's very interesting. It's a very interesting time for Aaron Rodgers to now say he's not vaccinated or show everyone he's not vaccinated. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Your guess is as good as mine with this one.
I'll tell you what. If Jordan Love either does enough to win this game like as Jordan Love or they just sneak this out and the defense plays incredible and they – win by a Mason Crosby field goal at the end, whatever. If the Packers win this game, however they do it, Rodgers is Rodgers this year. But if Jordan Love can come in on this particular game against the Chiefs, even though they're 4-4, they're still the Chiefs, and can get the win on the road in Arrowhead, that's a huge, huge case for him moving forward. Agreed. If he gets the loss, everyone's gonna be like, yeah, of course, like he's not Rodgers. And then I think it's just another uphill climb for him. But this could be very interesting if the Packers and Jordan Love could somehow pull away this one. The Packers have won 7 straight games, Chris. That's the longest active streak. Aaron Rodgers out. We'll see what happens against the defending runner-ups in the Super Bowl. All right, Sunday Night Football, Titans, Rams. This is the marquee matchup of the week here. Best team in the AFC, best team in the NFC, going at it here halfway through the season. Hypothetically, I guess you can call this a late season, maybe a Super Bowl preview if Derrick Henry comes back, but things have changed in Tennessee. Derrick Henry out effectively for the season, might come back for the fantasy playoffs or the NFL playoffs. I doubt it. Even if he does, we'll see if they hold grudge here. Julio Jones, questionable as always. AJ Brown, Ryan Tannehill, must starts. Then you have the Rams, Darrell Henderson, Matt Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods even, I am fine with against Tennessee. Van Jefferson is a nice sneak attack here as well. Tyler Higbee streaming tight end. 6-2 Titans, 7-1 Rams. Rams a favorite by a touchdown and a half. 54-point over-under, highest on the week.
Yeah, the spread seems high. I don't know what these spreads are about, but 7.5 seems high. The Titans are still the Titans on defense. I know they don't have Derrick Henry, but they're still the Titans on defense. They've been playing fairly well, and they've been keeping games close. Look, if McNichols can produce somewhat of the role that Henry was able to produce and, you know, mix in a little bit of passing work to keep the Rams on edge, that could just be enough to open up some passing work for AJ Brown, who looks like he's completely healthy, and Julio Jones. I still think this is going to be a closer game. I don't think the Titans win this game, but I do think the Titans keep it close. I don't think this is a runaway just because Derrick Henry's not in the backfield. So we'll see what happens. But I don't know. I just think that the Titans are not a lost cause because Henry's not in the backfield.
I think that's fair, and we'll see what happens. I mean, Adrian Peterson, Jeremy McNichols, they signed Deontay Foreman, who we all thought was going to be fun like 5 years ago. We'll see what happens here from the Titans. All right, last one, Chris. Monday Night Football. Then we got a couple questions before we move on to the TCK Listener League preview. Bears 3-5, Steelers 4-3. Steelers 6-point home favorites, 40-point over under. The Steelers have won 51 Monday Night NFL games. That's the most since 1940. 51 victories on Monday Night Football. This is going to be tough here for the Bears. Justin Fields played very well against my Niners. Unfortunately, Khalil Herbert's been on fire. Allen Robinson, droppable. Darnell Mooney, I guess I would hold, but he's not necessarily playable at this point. Steelers, Big Ben got the ugly win to Pat Freiermuth last minute. Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, you fire up. Najee Harris, automatic. I like the Steelers defense in this one as well on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said here. The Bears defense has been freaking piss poor the past couple of weeks. They're putting up 0 to -0 points in fantasy if you have them. I did. They've been freaking killing you. Okay, they're just awful. Okay, so I actually expect the Steelers to have a great game this game. I don't see the Bears right in this ship on any capacity. Justin Fields, if it wasn't for how horrible the Bears defense was, that should have been Justin Fields' game last week. And he played out of his mind. He did everything he could to help that team win and just still couldn't get it done. So they have bigger problems than Justin Fields. It is not his fault. Their defense looks like shit. Their weapons around Justin Fields look like shit. Their backfield isn't playing very well. Nothing is working in Chicago. So yeah, the Steelers walk away with this one fairly easily. I actually would take, I'll take the six that the Steelers are given. So,
ooh,
yeah,
I like it. Those are your NFL game previews for week 9, brought to you by our new sponsor, Carafactor. Here's a note from them, and then Chris and I will get to your Q&A.
Hey, TCK Potters and Fantasy Focus community. Are you looking for options for hair loss? There are many options out there for treating it. However, most products treat the cause, such as DHT, and don't do much to support the growth of new and stronger hair. It's like removing harmful weeds from your lawn, but not doing much to fertilize the grass. That's why the Fantasy Focus and TCK team has partnered with Carafactor. Carafactor saw this problem and focused their research on finding just the right combination of biosynthetic growth factors and an innovative delivery system to promote fuller, stronger-looking hair. So whether you're a listener who suffers from various forms of alopecia or even stress-related hair loss, the Carafactor treatment is the perfect scalp-friendly solution that can help and influence stronger and healthy hair throughout all stages of the hair life cycle. And now, exclusively for TCK listeners, use the promo code TCK at checkout to get 15% off all products at shop.mycarafactor.com. That's shop.mycarafactor.com. Carafactor, skincare for hair.
All right, Chris, we got a couple questions here from our audience. And again, folks, I apologize for skipping out here a few minutes ago with my internet. So if I miss your question, dive back in quickly, or we will get to you at another time. Lucas, Rosenquist, Devontae Freeman, Mickles, Hyde, or Dillon, half PPR, Chris?
I'll go McNichols here.
McNichols. I will go McNichols as well. All right, Mike Ortiz going back. I'm going to gamble with Carter. Good luck, my man. Let's go Jets. I agree. All right, got a couple more here. Pittman looking good. Would you start Michael Carter, James Robinson? Well, it's a little too late. It would have gone Michael Carter, though. James Robinson is doubtful in this one. Pittman had the double lucky two TDs off of the interception. He's phenomenal, but I would think Debo is easily the bigger miss. These guys are talking to each other in the chat room, which is just fine. All right, Chris, James Martin. Would y'all start Myers, Tony, or Jameson, Jameson Crowder, which again, we're now past kickoff, so he would have been in. But Chris, what would you have done?
Yeah, they're all seemingly sort of the same type of player. High target guys, average volume in terms of receptions and yards, and with not a lot of high TD upside just based on their quarterbacks. So I'd probably lean Tony here. Yeah, Tony.
Okay, I would have probably gone Jameson Crowder, which again is too late, but Corey Davis being out, I think, helps just with the volume. Brock Goose, what's up, fellas? I'm 7-1, 10-team, 2-point PPR. Congratulations, Brock. Lineup, Brady, Eckler, Najee, Devontae, Debo, Fant, Godwin, Amari, Monty on IR, and Deontay. Trade Amari and Moss for Terry McLaurin or Godwin for Keenan Allen? I would do both of those. I would rather have Terry McLaurin than Amari Cooper and Zach Moss personally. I would also rather have Keenan Allen long-term than Chris Godwin with AB coming back.
And yeah, I would do the Godwin for Keenan. I don't know. I like Keenan a lot, but I also have Chris Godwin. He's playing well. The Amari Moss for Terry, it's tough, man, because you don't know what's going to happen with Fitzpatrick when he comes back. He's likely going to end up taking over, or he's going to play again over Heinicke. Just the Heinicke experiment just kind of started to fizzle out. Cooper's still got Dak. He's still on a good offense. And then Zach Moss, like we talked about earlier, is the back for the Bills. And I know that there's, you know, not a lot of upside for that backfield. I just think, man, Terry's been really hit or miss. There's no good answer. Terry's just not been playing very well. So I don't know that I would give up two for one at that point. Seems like a lot.
Okay. We will agree to disagree on that one, but we both go with Keenan Allen over Chris Godwin. All right, folks, that's going to wrap up this episode here, the Week 9 game previews. Again, with my man Christopher Benavides. Chris, before we sign off, let everyone know where they can find the Commish Fantasy Football Podcast and the playbook.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in to TCK. Of course, always enjoy being with you guys for these kinds of episodes. So you can also go check out the Commish Fantasy Football Podcast on all notable podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, and Google, Amazon Music, too, if you have that. I do. So also a good platform to listen to. And then, of course, go check us over at our website, thecommishbrand.com/the-playbook is where you can find the playbook. It's our weekly newsletter. It comes out every Tuesday. And at the Commish FFP on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter for our social media handles.
Love it. This episode and all episodes have been brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network and Bet Online AG. Shouts out to our sponsors, Bomb Banana Hot Sauce, Jersey Jungle, Bet Online AG, of course, and Carafactor. Chris and I will tune off here and we'll be back in just a few minutes with the TCK Pod Listener League roster rundowns. If you're tuning into Thursday Night Football, enjoy the game. Chris and I will be right back after this episode for Christopher Benavides and the Commish Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Sky Guasco, and we are out of here.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.